last night at Washington, D.C.'s 930 Club. It took only the first sting of synthesizers to rocket the packed house straight back to 1982. The band, of course, is Devo, and it's back touring the United States. For the non-spuds in our audience, Devo took the new wave genre by storm in the late 70s and early 80s with hits like Whip It and the song Through Being Cool. Devo was born in the post-industrial Rust Belt of Northeast Ohio. The band took its name from the concept of de-evolution, human being and society devolving, not progressing. Mark Mothersbaugh is one of the founding members of Devo, and he joins us in the studio now to talk about his work in and out of the band. If you have a question about his career, looking forward or backward, evolving, devolving, whatever you want, 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK, and our email address is TOTN@NPR.org. And Mark Mothersbaugh, nice to have you on Talk of the Nation.
Oh, thank you. Good to be here.
Now, we say Devo's back. Did it ever really go away?
Well, in the sense that we were actively touring and putting out albums for about a decade and then kind of got sidetracked into other activities, and then about seven, eight, 9 years ago started touring again, like in small little bits and batches here and there.
Well, you've had some considerable success in those other lines of work that you're talking. We'll talk about those later. But what is it about the band that made you want to, you know, put the band back together?
Well, we all still work together. The band was basically two sets of brothers, so we still see each other every day. Bob 1 and Bob 2 work with me at a company called Mutato, and Bob 1's scoring the Rugrats spin-off show All Grown Up, and Bob 2's our producer, engineer, and house guy. And so it wasn't like you know, we don't see each other for the last 30 years. It just turned into a thing where we started realizing that de-evolution was more true now than it ever had been in the past, and the things we had talked about had all come true.
Like what? Give me an example.
Things falling apart, where things are going in our country, where things are going in the world, information, lack of it, school systems in the country. You can go anywhere you want. It used to be 30 years ago, people would come up and be really upset. They'd go, how can you say we're devolving? And now we take a poll every night and, you know, just like Fox, we have our own jury-rigged group of people that are being polled. But everybody screams in unison. They know that that we're all Devo.
I wonder. This was both a band and an act. I mean, there were so many aspects to Devo that really got a lot of attention in the outfits you guys wore. The glasses are great, by the way. I wonder, when you thought about touring again, did you think about bringing the stuff back or not?
Well, when we do a show now, we're not really, we don't have a new album out, mm-hmm. so we're not trying to. You know, we don't come out and do two songs, you know, and then play an album that you've never heard before and then do two more songs. We come out and do basically the same show we did in CBGB's in 1977 or the Whiskey A Go-Go and on the West Coast. And it's the same show we did when we first started and we were just young little spuds. And it does have a lot of the same clothing, and we do the same, you know, everything's the same except we're... Some of us are double wide now.
Yeah, I might have had to let those things out a little bit.
Well, you know, it's like we look like cheeseburgers anyhow with our yellow plastic suits, and now a couple of us just look like double cheeseburgers.
Do you still enjoy playing the old hits?
Yeah, you know, that's what we did when we, you know, when we were angry young men. That was our big statement, was Devo. And I don't know, just like most artists, I think all the things that any of us have done, Jerry and his directing, career, the rest of us doing musical things. It's all permutations on a theme.
And the theme is still de-evolution.
Yeah, we're pro-information, anti-disinformation, anti-stupidity.
That's a never-ending career, I guess, when you think about it. You put
Boy,
it that
it
way.
It sure is.
800-989-8255 if you'd like to join us, or email us, totn@npr.org. Our guest is Mark Mothersbaugh of the band Devo, and let's talk with Kevin. Kevin calling from Kalamazoo.
Hi, good afternoon.
Afternoon.
I grew up in Northville, Michigan, and we were incredibly into the Ramones. You know, I saw them in the Ramones in concert in 1980. In Ann Arbor, but, you know, you're from, you know, eighth grade, 1978, till 2005 when I'm 40 years old, you know, going to weddings and hearing Whip It when I was on the practice football field, hearing Whip It when I was in eighth grade. But then when I got into college, it was the Mongoloid song, which I see you got an advertisement out for. You sold that song for an ad. And I think that's so cool, but I like the lyrics better. So I'm going to definitely go see you in concert. And when are you playing in Michigan? And fantastic. Just great.
When are you playing in Michigan? Do you know?
I don't know. We're just it's a short tour this time. The other guys are a little upset with me, but I cut the tour short because I'm going to China on September 2nd to adopt a child. So,
oh, congratulations.
So it,
fantastic. You know, one more thing. My sister had a friend that worked for Sony in A&R, P&R, and I think his name was AJ. I don't know if you knew him. Does that ring a bell?
AJ? Probably.
Yeah.
Probably.
Okay. All right. But anyway, got to see you. I'll travel to see you because
we're in Cleveland. That's as close as we get.
I'm in pretty good shape, though.
Okay, Kevin. Thanks for the call and good luck. I have to ask, do the Chinese authorities know what you do for a living?
Yeah, and you know, it's a long process. It takes
forever,
over a year and a lot of paperwork in typical Chinese fashion. I thought I was going to go before the tour started, and the paperwork kept taking longer and longer, and I was afraid it was going to be in the middle, and instead it chopped off some shows at the very end. So,
well, you got to keep your priorities straight. It sounds like you do.
Yeah, it's worth it.
Yeah. Getting back to what Kevin was talking about, have you? I know you do a lot of commercials. Have you transmogrified any of Devo's music to be commercial backing tunes?
There's been different things that have been used. Uncontrollable Urge, Mitsubishi used it for something, and Freedom of Choice got used by somebody, and Whip It got used a half dozen times for people that...
Feather Dusters, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, well...
I don't suppose they're feather anymore.
Yeah, it was like... It was the one that was like the litmus test for us. Like, it was so embarrassing that, you know, it's like sometimes you're kind of like looking for that area where you're like being subversive and sneaking in, and this was one of those ones where we kind of felt like we should have changed our name to D-Ho.
Let's get Aaron on the line from Chagrin Falls in Ohio.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I had a couple questions about your process in creating a soundtrack for a film. I believe the last one you did was for A Life Aquatic, unless you've worked on something newer.
There's a couple that came out this summer. Called Lords of Dogtown and Herbie Fully Loaded, but in some ways
right at the top of the resume, that one.
Well, you know, it's they're a whole different trajectory.
As opposed to writing songs for your group.
But Life Aquatic, that's fine. Mm-hmm. You know that I've done all of Wes Anderson's movies, and
working with him,
and it's pretty great. We hit it off from the beginning. I started with Bottle Rocket, and each movie I started working with him earlier in the process, and he's the only director that, when we worked on Life Aquatic, he was sitting in my recording studio with me, with his laptop, writing the script, talking about a character that was in the movie that was a composer, and so I'd be writing music and say, "What is it like this?" And we were coming up with a musical sound for the movie while he was still writing the script. So.
Wow.
That's about as early as you can get in the process.
How is it different? I mean, composing music, one would think, would be a pretty solitary task.
Most of the time it is, especially if you're doing TV shows. I've done about, I don't know, somewhere between 35 and 40 series for TV. And usually after the first episode, you just get a tape on a Monday. You score it you write the music on a Tuesday. You record it on a Wednesday, send it back to them on a Thursday, and it's on TV next week. But with film, it's depending upon the directors, they're more interactive and some of them have more say. A lot of times people, by that point in the film, because it's the just about the very last thing that happens, they're off to other projects already and they're just glad to be done. But some people like Wes, he just stays there with me the whole time.
Is it more fun to do rock and roll, or is it more fun to write something for like The Life Aquatic?
I started writing music for film and TV because I became disenfranchised with pop music and writing music for records. And it was, it was like the thing where you would write 10 or 12 songs and you'd make a video or two and you'd go on tour for 6 months. And then a year later, you'd do 10 or 12 new songs. Mm-hmm. And once I started with a TV show called Pee-wee's Playhouse is how I first started scoring. And all of a sudden, it was this thing where you absolutely had to write 30 minutes worth of music in 3 days and record it. But then you saw it 2 days later on TV, and there was this kind of quick turnaround adrenaline rush that appealed to me.
Aaron, thanks very much for the phone call.
Thank you.
We're talking with Mark Mothersbaugh of Devo, and you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Let's get another caller on the line. This is Colin. Colin calling from Waterloo, Iowa.
Hey, Mark. Huge fan. I was that nerdy kid in high school back in the 80s that had all your records. And I was just wondering, your first couple of records had this real heavy guitar, almost a garage band kind of sound to it. And I was wondering if you thought the band on future tours or whatever would be devolving more back into that. I mean, I know you all got into like a heavy synth pop type thing there for a while, which is good. I like that too. But I was just wondering where you thought if the band is going in a direction or what you all are doing with that.
Well, to be perfectly honest with you, if you were to see our show that we did last night, about half of the songs came off the first two albums, and then the rest of them were just pulled out of the greatest hits of things that happened later than that. But I agree with you. That was my favorite period of the band, was at the very beginning. And I don't know. I think if we do another album, we would want to kind of maybe go back to where we started, if it's possible. I mean, it may not be possible, but...
You said you were disenfranchised from the band.
No, I didn't mean from the... If I said from the band, then I didn't mean... I meant from the record industry.
Uh-huh. The band wasn't able to keep recording, was not...
Well, we predicted things like MTV, almost a decade before they really happened. We read an article, one of the guys that were friends of ours, Chuck Statler, who directed our first film, had this Popular Science magazine he brought over to where Jerry and Bob were living, and we're looking at it, and it said, laser discs. Everybody will have them next year. And it wasn't true, but they were this size of LPs, but they not only had audio, they had a full video picture. And we were like, it's going to destroy rock and roll. That's what we want to be part of. We want to help destroy rock and roll, and we want to start this new sound and vision. And we were like Amway salesmen for something that didn't exist yet, music television. We kept talking about it, and we were making product for that, because we anticipated something different. When music television really came along, MTV, it unfortunately took the low route and became home network shopping for record companies, and contributed in many ways to denigrate pop music, in my opinion.
Do they even show video on MTV anymore?
I have no idea. I haven't watched it for a decade, probably.
I don't think they do.
Thank you for the call, Colin. What do you listen to? Who do you watch? Who are you interested in?
You know what? If I turn on a TV, I love black and white movies. I love old movies, and that's what I watch. If you ask anybody in the band, they'd all have a different answer. That everybody brings in something different to what we do. But for me personally, I love movies before color came in, and feel like every time Turner Classic Movies puts on a color film, I always have to, then I start looking at the other channels and see if anybody else has something. But in music, I listen to everything. I love Aphex Twin, some of the things I like. We get odd things in the mail. People send us things, and sometimes it's stuff that you'd never find anywhere that's the best stuff.
We just have a minute or so left, but I did want to ask you have an art exhibit that just opened in Florida. Tell us a little bit about that.
When Jerry from Devo and I first met, we were both in college at Kent State. We were in the art department, and we were doing visual collaborations before we did musical collaborations, and we've both always continued doing visuals, and I've been doing shows now for about 5 or 6 years at smaller, kind of more underground, graffiti-interested galleries, and I don't know, I enjoy it. I do about 35 gallery shows a year around the world.
Well, good luck with it, and good luck with the band. We appreciate you coming in today.
Oh, thank you so much.
Mark Mothersbaugh is a founding member of Devo, continues to compose music for film, television, and video games, and he was with us here in Studio 3A. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan. You must whip it when something's going wrong.